You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate
and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world.
And now, innovation thought leader
and your super fly host,
Tamara Kleinberg.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm so excited for today. Okay, I have with me Geeta Nadkarni, who is the creator of the Baby Got Booked formula, the most innovative way of presenting your message to the media. And I have to say, I'm excited because I've seen Geeta speak and I took copious notes and it got me, her advice got me into the Huffington Post and a few other places. Yeah, so Geeta, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you. This is the best. This is what I love hearing because it is really the best compliment that you could pay a speaker is I took your shit and took an action on it.
Right? I did something.
You actually did something. Yeah. My day is officially mission accomplished on this.
You know what? We're done. We're out. Let's go.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. Okay, thanks.
If you weren't like up north for me, we would just meet for coffee.
I know.
All right. So Geeta, I told people a little bit about your background. Fill in the blanks. What else should they know about you?
So I've been... people probably want to know how the math adds up because when I tell people that I've been a journalist for 25 years, people are like, how old are you then? And I'll tell you the truth. I'm 36 years old. I'll be 37 in December. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm 36 as of 2016. And I've been a journalist since I was 12. And I say journalist as in getting paid to do this. So I've been writing for even longer. And you know the story. I've told Tamara the story, so she heard me tell it when I was up on stage. Basically, I grew up in Mumbai, and there we follow the British schooling system. So you have an English literature paper that's all about, you know, the classics and so on. And then you have an English language paper, which I hated. It was essay writing and comprehension and grammar, right? Like,
boring.
Like, yeah, seriously, all this, my arch nemesis, especially essay writing. I just really, really hated it. And my father, I don't know if you've ever watched a Bollywood movie. They're extreme. Indian men are extremely dramatic, and it's not an exaggeration because that was pretty much my dad. So, so I had the very ugly task of having to bring in a report card where I had kind of just scraped by the skin of my teeth on my English language paper. And my father was horrified. He was like, no fruit of my loins is going to flunk English language. He really does say things like that. Yeah. And so he and my mom devised a program where for the whole summer, the summer I turned 10, I had to write 3 essays a week. I could not go out to play. And I hated it, okay? I wish I could tell you that
I
I'm mean, super...
as a kid, that's the worst.
It's horrible. And like all my friends were out downstairs and I could hear them playing cops and robbers and yelling at each other. And I could hear the twack of the cricket bat because you know, we grew up in India. And I'm like, man, and then I had to sit there. But you know, to his credit, my dad made it really interesting. So we each had a scrapbook and he would give us different assignments. So we got images out of a magazine and then stick them into the scrapbook and create a fictitious character, or we do book reviews of our favorite bedtime stories.
Great.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Now, I'm like, that sounds great. As a child, it's mortifying.
It's horrible. It's terrifying. It really is. And I didn't realize at the time that nobody else did this. So it was kind of like, well, dad makes you do it. You can't question Indian parents, right? So anyway, so I did it. And the interesting thing was he basically gave me my parents together basically gave me the gift of knowing what it is I was born to do by pushing me through that resistance. Because by the end of that summer, 2.5 months later, I basically realized that I loved writing. Who knew? This thing that I hated so much was actually what I was born to do in this world. And so ever since then, I wrote everything. I'd write screenplays and poetry and short stories and essays and you name it. And by the time I was 12, I was pitching internationally and getting published.
You know, this is a little bit of a tangent, but with what you're saying, it kind of makes me wonder how many of us, if we just push through a little bit resistance, would actually find that thing we were born to do, but we don't get through the resistance. So we
absolutely
keep looking for it and we never find it.
It's so true. And this is why I do believe in coaches. The right coach can really kick your butt through resistance. And this is why I believe in cold showers, but that's a whole other tangent which we don't have to get into.
You've been all over media. You've worked in media. You've worked for media, like getting stuff pitched in.
Yeah.
Your business is a little bit different. And a lot of the people that do the Baby Got Booked formula are entrepreneurs, small business who are
absolutely
media. But let's back up for a second, because I know this seems obvious, but I think we need to talk about it. Why is media so important for entrepreneurs? Why should we, like, of all the things we should be doing, why should we be spending our time there?
Okay, I love, love, love that you asked this question. So the first thing I want to do is, for the listening audience, I want you to think about how many of you are active on social media for your business, right?
Let's pretty face much it, all it's of like us. 4 hours a day for no return and we can't figure out what to do.
Pretty much. Pretty much, right? So like, I just want to know off that percentage, this, it's probably 100% of us are on social media in some way, shape or form for our business. What is the percentage of people who are absolutely thrilled, out of this world thrilled with the return on investment? 2%? Minuscule, maybe, right? Maybe. So this is what is really frustrating. If you Google media and small business, if you Google marketing and small business, all you ever hear is get on social media, get on social media. And that's what I heard too. So when I decided, so I launched my company basically after being unemployed for 2 years because I was on maternity leave. It was willful unemployment. And I was very clear that I didn't want to go back to a 9-to-5 and work, you know, whatever, 60 hours a week while somebody else raised my kid. No judgment if that's the choice you're making, but that was not a choice I wanted to make. And I was desperate to stop being desperate. Because that whole last year that I had been on maternity leave, we had basically gone from two very healthy incomes, because I was going from having my own program across Canada to like drinking coffee at home because I had no money to go out to a cafe, like literally. That was it. It was all gobbled up by our mortgage and our expenses, which were very minimal. Like, we have no car and we don't even have cable. So like literally there was nothing left to
a cut. House. You got a house. You got somewhere to live.
We have an apartment.
Yeah.
That we have actually since outgrown. But yes. So I was like, there was nothing left. Okay, this deck is not working, is it? All right, let me stop. Let me just, okay, we've rigged my phone onto this with Blue DAC. This is what the media is like, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
The strings behind the puppet show. Okay, I'm actually going to hold it now.
Okay.
All right, so coming back to my story. So yeah, so I was like, you know what? At some point I think I was just ready. I was ready for a real transformation. And the moment that I knew I was ready was because my husband found out that he was about to lose his job. Mm. So the one income that we were all depending on, we knew was going to go away. Yeah. Exactly. And he was freaking out. So he was waking up and forcing himself to go to work every day at a job that he knew he was going to lose, which is probably one of the most disheartening things you could ever do.
I mean, like, rip the soul out of you. Why don't you?
Exactly. And then my son would cry and he'd be like, Dada, don't go. And I'd have to say, well, Dada has to go to work to make the money to pay for your books and your toys and everything that you have, everything that we have. And then when I decided, you know, I'm going to launch an online course. I'm going to put everything that's in my head that is so blindingly obvious to me from having been on the receiving end of press releases, from having spent 22 plus years telling other people's stories to the public. I was like, I need to help people do this because people are doing it wrong. And then they're feeling stuck because they feel like they have no option. They feel like the only option is to hire a PR agency, which most of us don't have the budget for. That's and those of us that do have the budget for don't always find return. So I told my son, Mama has to do this because I'm done being middle class. I'm just done. We're going to be rich in every sense of the word. We're going to have money to travel. We're going to have money to do things. We're going to get on stages and make big impacts and change people's lives. And not just, and tell a better story and become a better story. So that was my mission. That was my mission. And it lit a fire under me. I started to dabble with social media like everybody says to. And I was like, okay, so my husband's going to lose his job probably within 6 months. Right. I don't have time.
Time to like mess around. So does media get you something? I mean, I love that you've been on the receiving side, right? Because I want to ask you later about the mistakes that we make pitching to the media. Because, you know, I mean, it can feel like a black hole. But so what does media get you that social media doesn't?
I love this. Yes.
Lack of 4 hours wasted a day.
Which is right. So my students typically spend 2 hours a week, if they're really diligent about it, 2 hours a week. That's it. And this gets you in front of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of readers, subscribers. Yeah. It gets, you know, the Huffington Post team to tweet your story as opposed to you having to do it. They right. do it and you hit retweet. That's right. kind of cool, right?
Well, and so, I think that adds a huge level of credibility that you don't yes. get by tweeting your own stuff.
Exactly. So great question. So the number one thing that everybody gets hung on, everybody knows this, is exposure, right? Think yeah. about the Oprah effect. Think about getting on the right show.
I mean, what?
Right? You get on the right show, you talk about your book, suddenly it's flying off the shelves, you talk about your product, you tell the story behind why you launched your nonprofit, whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
And all of a sudden, donations are pouring in, people are invested and engaged and wanting to know more about what you do. And that's often a 4-minute segment, a 3-minute segment. Think about what it would cost you to purchase advertising on any of those programs. You can't.
More than I can afford, yeah.
You can't. You just yeah. can't.
And so, I'm not sure it works, so.
Exactly, because most yeah. of us turn off the ads.
Right.
We don't turn off the content.
Right, right.
Our guard is down when it's content. And that's why you get into people's hearts differently when you have earned media. And I'll delve into that a little bit more. So that's exposure. The second piece, of course, as you mentioned, is credibility.
Yeah.
I mean, my day rate was 5 figures out the gate for speaking with my second gig. And the reason that I was able to negotiate that was because I had all of these media logos on my website. I had all of these clips. I could send them marketing materials that, you know, when they asked for video, I didn't have any speaker video at the time.
But I did have
video of me being interviewed about my subject. And so people were like, wow, you know, clearly you're so impressive. We've had students where we had a woman who teaches LinkedIn, and she's a life coach and a business coach. And she was hired by an association that actually upped their own budget before they picked up the phone to call her, because they were like, we saw your article in Entrepreneur Magazine, and we knew that we probably couldn't afford you, but we thought we'd ask, and we've doubled our budget, and you know, we've scraped together X number of dollars. Do you think you could do it? And she would have probably done it for free because she was just launching her speaking career.
Right.
But it was yeah. kind of nice to do it for several thousand dollars. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, exactly. So we've seen that happen in terms of credibility. The other thing with, and then the third thing that I never hear anybody talk about is opportunity. Mm. So let me give you a concrete example. So when you're seen as a bigger player, when you're featured on, you know, when your name has been in the New York Times, let's say, then you get to rub shoulders with people of a much higher caliber in terms of just accomplishment and impact
right.
and things like that, not necessarily dollars, but whatever, however you choose to define that metric for yourself. I get invited onto much bigger stages. I get to rub shoulders with far more influential people. Like, I'm just like some young whippersnapper from Canada. Like I just showed up to the party. You know what I'm saying? But all the cool kids are like, hey, come sit at the cool table.
Right. You're at the right party. That's the thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so there is a huge amount of opportunity that comes with being featured in the media. And then this happened to me the other day. I was reading a book. I loved the book. It was a business book. And I was like, hey, you know what? I would love to know how this, I have these ideas for how this might apply to my business. I'm going to call up the author.
Mm.
And interview him and basically get expert business coaching from someone I probably couldn't afford. But the ask was not, hi, can you get on the phone with me and I'll waste 30 minutes of your life for free and ask you questions that you usually charge people thousands of dollars to answer, versus I write a column in Inc. magazine and I would love to interview you on subject X.
Yeah.
Very different ask.
I will tell you, just to, you know, pull back the kimono. I mean, that was part of my rationale for the podcast.
Of course.
Not just I want to put a podcast out into the world, but I want to connect with people that I want to get to know. And the
yes.
way to do that is to have a platform. So
exactly.
when I say to them, I have a podcast and I'll put you on my Huffington Post article, you know, my contribution.
Yes.
Post, they're like, woo. So if you're listening out there, the thing I would encourage you to think about is, truly, how much time are you wasting on social media? I mean, you can have some, that's fine, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know from experience and from what you're, I mean, you are the master at this, media, the return is so much greater even for just one hit, you know?
Yes. Yes, because there's lots of ways to leverage what you get in the media, even if the people that you want to have watched it weren't watching that day.
Right.
Because that will happen. 80% of the people you want to reach may not be watching or reading that day. But when you have those logos
right.
attached to your name, when you have that video clip that where you've actually been interviewed, where somebody I mean, the Huffington Post has upwards of 94 million monthly readers, and that's in the US alone, right? They know what they're doing. When a team like that chooses you to be their expert on that subject, you just, Google thinks of you differently. Right. Just that.
Yeah.
Right? Just that.
That's right. That's right. It's amazing. So I'm going to ask these next two questions kind of together because I think they're different sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. One is, I'd love to hear what the mistakes that we make when we pitch media, because I know we're making some really seriously big mistakes out there. Mm-hmm. And then what is the better way? Like, what makes a good pitch? So it's kind of two in one, but I want to start with the mistakes because I've seen some pitches and I've thought, huh, I should ask Gita about that one. I'm not sure you're hitting the mark.
Well, when I put together the course, I didn't want it to be just my opinion. So one of my promises to my students is that when you purchase this course, at least as long as we offer lifetime updates, you purchase it once and we constantly update it. So it's always cutting edge. It's not like what worked in 2014. Right. It's what's working right now. And the reason I'm able to do that is because I have a network, because I've been in the industry for so long that I have a network of bookers and producers and editors that I'm constantly checking in with. And we have this sort of internal thing where they'll send me like the most hilarious pitches that they get. And you'd be shocked.
Mine ever?
No. No, but you'd be shocked at
how bad they are.
How not just how bad they are, but sometimes there are high-priced PR agencies sending them out. And I'm thinking, somebody paid several thousand dollars to have this producer send it to me for a laugh. Like, that hurts, yeah. You know? Like, I feel that pain. So the number one mistake that people make is they send out a press release. Mm. And you're like, what? What are you supposed to do instead?
Like, yes. My newswire announcement.
Yes, exactly. So the number two mistake they make is they answer the question, why now, wrong. So the way that most of us answer that question when you put yourself in the shoes of a small business owner is, why now? Oh, I have a book coming out. I have a product coming out. I have an event. I have me. Exactly. Here's how a producer wants the answers. This is what a producer would say. When a producer asks why now, they're asking, why is this relevant to my audience right now? That's what the full form of why now actually is. So there's two pieces in that. Why is this relevant to my audience? You have to make sure you pick the right audience. Right. And then the second part is why now could be, and there's lots of different ways to answer this. So think about, you know, humans are very, very, we're all creatures of habits. Everything is cyclical and seasonal. Maybe 80% of the content that any media outlet puts out is repetitive.
Right.
That's a shocking, exactly. Exactly, right? The back to school story, the Christmas story, the Thanksgiving story, the New Year's resolution story, the Valentine's Day story, the yada, yada, yada. You get it.
Yeah.
Whatever the subject is, there's always a small business story, the tax story, the accounting story, like all of those. So that's one way. So you look at what's seasonal, what's in the public's consciousness right now. So think of the public's consciousness as a sort of pipeline, and you want to hook your message into something that's already on that line. And that's how you sort of slip through the doors.
So instead of, I have a book launch, and that's
right.
Why I'm contacting you, Gita. It is, I have a book about happiness, and this holiday is coming, or whatever. This holiday is coming, and I have a book about happiness.
So I love that you've given me a concrete example to work with. This is my favorite way to do it. Okay, so you have a book about happiness. So now, when you learn how to message to the media, you're going to learn a couple of business tactics, sort of on this, like, as a side effect.
Yeah.
That's one of the side effects of our training. So you're going to know when to launch your book
based on what's
happening in the media. You're not going to say, I have a book about happiness, because that's not a story. That's right. Your story. Yeah. That's exciting to you. And I get why, because I'm writing a book and God knows it's going to be bloody exciting when I finish it.
Right.
But yeah, that, exactly. And you know, that's exciting to me, but not to everybody else. So to a producer, what you would want to tie that to. So here's what you're going to tie that to. You're going to look for studies that talk about how happiness or depression rates soar during the holidays.
Uh-huh.
You're going to talk about something that is affecting their audience right now. And your topic happens to be the perfect fit. You have these, your
tools about that.
Exactly. So your job, the producer's job, is to bring in guests to educate, inform, and entertain their audience. Full stop. educate, inform, and entertain. So you have to find a way to hook your message onto the way that they do business. So they want to know, will spending 4 minutes with you, if this is a breakfast television show, will spending 4 minutes with you help my audience make their day better? Are they going to be educated, informed, and entertained after that 4 minutes? Will they have something, what we call takeaway in the industry? Will they have something concrete and actionable to do after spending time with you? I want to just quickly add, I know you're getting ready to ask another question, but I want to quickly add and a few other ways to answer the question, why now? And I have a YouTube video on this topic on my channel. So if you look at the Baby Gut Book channel on YouTube, you'll find it. So it could be seasonal. It could be, you know, if you're in a health-related field, there are health awareness days that are official. Your government sets them, and different countries have different dates for different days. So like Breast Cancer Awareness Week, that sort of thing, Breastfeeding Awareness Week, all of that. There's that. There's also, you know, celebrities do great and stupid stuff all the time. And sometimes that relates to you. So especially when you're first starting out, and I get this question a lot, is, oh, but I'm really new. I'm really new. I just launched my business. I don't have a whole lot of experience. I haven't worked with, you know, I don't have clients like Steve Jobs under my belt. How am I supposed to get media? How am I supposed to pitch myself? And the way that you do this is you realize that a producer's job is really to take what the big names, the celebrities, the big companies, those that are just on a different level than the rest of us, what they're doing, they want you to take what they're doing and break it down in a way that's accessible to the general public. Hmm. If you can bridge that gap, they need you.
So it's funny, I don't have a book on happiness, but someone in my program, Launch Street, does, which is what made me think of it, but my topic, but
yeah.
So for her, right, for example, I'm just working through what you said, because I think that's so brilliant. It's not just about the book launch or just about the book launch and the holiday.
That's almost an aside. The book is almost an aside. It's here's a resource.
Right. And by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a by the way.
Right. Oh, that's so great. You know, I think we really do. I'm so glad you framed all that up, because I do think that we tend to, first of all, we're excited about our own shit. So that's where we start, right?
Agreed.
Fair enough. And second, we're not thinking the way the producer's thinking, which is, what does my audience want to hear?
Exactly.
And entertain, like you said, entertain and inform them. So that is such a better way to think about it.
Yeah. And you know what? Can I just say, you learn the skill. A lot of my students come to us for media. And what they find is, before they even get booked, which usually happens in a matter of weeks if they actually put in the 2 hours a week, they're changing their sales pages. They're changing their web copy. They're changing a whole bunch of stuff. Because everything's a pitch. They're talking differently about their networking. We had a financial advisor join our course, and he calls me up like about 3.5 weeks or 4 weeks in. He calls me up and he's like, Gita, oh my God, I had to call you. It's so exciting. And I was like, okay, what's happening? He's like, I was like, did you get booked? Because I didn't see anything about that in the group or anything. And he was like, no, that's happening. But we just ran some numbers, and we're having the best sales month that we've had in 8 years, because we basically retrained our sales team to talk in sound bites the way that you taught us. And I was like,
uh-huh.
Well done.
Good
job. Thank you. And then he got on TV the next week. So that was fun.
Oh, that's great. Well, it is true though. I mean, it's the what's in it for them concept. Like starting with that and ending with you versus the other way around.
Exactly.
So what makes a good pitch? Like, maybe you can give us an example or walk
absolutely
us through just a general template of, okay, so I get it. Now I'm all about let's just use TV, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm all about them. So how do I frame it for them? Because you shared some things when I saw you that I thought were surprising to me anyway about how to really put it together.
Right. So the first thing you want to think about is, people want, producers and editors and journalists all want stories, because stories resonate with people. Stories are what actually facilitate transformation. Because if it was just straight up information, that would be no personal development industry. We'd all be perfect.
Right.
But that's, at least in my life, not the way it works. So what people need is sort of an emotional hook to, it's the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. See, I just soundbited you.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught you. That's right. Like, that was a soundbite. What that is, that mechanism, is basically, I've just given you a visual, different, concrete way to imagine an abstract concept. Now, when you think about how am I going to deliver my truth, how am I going to deliver my message, you're going to think a spoonful of sugar helps medicine go down. I'm going to put it in a story. I'm going to put it in something that creates an emotional impact for people, because nobody's going to say no to the spoonful of sugar. They may not want the medicine,
right?
But they want the sugar. So you give it to them in a way that sort of resonates with them, that takes them from point A to point B and creates that transformation in the moment so that they can then implement it and actually live it out. So what that looks like so what you want to send out is a pitch. And people have trouble with that with my accent. P with a P, P for Bali, not, yeah. Okay. I have been known to swear. I did work in newsrooms my whole life. Swear is probably my first language. So that's you want to create an emotional story-based pitch. Mm. And how you do that is you start with, and this is always email, by the way, this is another question I get. It's the days of the paper press release. You can call. See, every rule is great if you know how to disrupt it. Mm. You don't want to call if you don't know how to package your message super freaking tight yet, because then they're going to blackball you.
Right, right.
So don't start there unless you're really confident that you've got something amazing. If you do, then calling might be a good idea because nobody calls.
Oh, okay.
Or the people who call are psychos.
Right, right.
Or which is the other thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Or family, exactly.
Right, right. Exactly.
Voicemail. Anyway, so I have been on the receiving end of very compelling pitches that totally turned into stories that day when I received the right call.
Wow.
They're rare.
I would assume in that case too, it also has to be extremely relevant to what's happening that day.
Yes.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. It tends to have to be very, very tight. So for us as entrepreneurs, typically we do a lot of what we call soft news, soft right. stories. So you didn't rob a bank or murder someone, hopefully, and therefore you are not hard news.
Hopefully.
But there's a lot of, like, there's so much soft news out there, and there's so much potential for soft news. So recently we had another speaker that maybe you know, Patricia Townsend. So she's a body language expert, and she has been raking in the media by helping people decode what the candidates are actually saying so during the debates, right? Super relevant. And so they have her in a corner.
This is the screen, Ari.
We have her, they have her in a corner, and they have, you know, Trump and Clinton talking, and then she'll sort of say, you know, when they make this gesture with their hands, this is what they're doing. And when they make this gesture with their body, this is what they're doing. And it's the way she sold it was, know what your candidates are really thinking.
Oh.
So she's kind of made it like kind of sexy, right? Like
right.
there's a secret here to decode.
It
may not be what you think it is. Exactly. So the first thing you want to do is have a very, very compelling headline or subject line, because you're going to be pitching by email. You could have the most sexy pitch in the world. If you don't know how to put that, if that subject line does not immediately catch their attention as they're scrolling through the 300 to 600 pitches that they're receiving.
Yep.
It's not going to work. And for this, we actually created a set of templates that are fill in the blank with a whole bunch of examples based on what's working right now. So you can use these templates to create your subject lines, but they also create the headlines, which in a way also gives you ideas for what to write about. And this is all based on stuff that's actually out there in the media and interviews that I did with big name editors like James Ledbetter of Inc. and Ray Hennessy from Entrepreneur and so on. Anyway, so imagine you have your subject line, then you say dear, and you put the name of the journalist in there. No spray and pray. Spray and pray is about as elegant as it sounds, right? Spray and pray is what skunks do. Don't do that. And journalists can smell that a mile away because, right? Because it was like, hi. I'm like, yeah, you don't have my name. You don't know who I am.
Hey,
you don't give a rat. Yeah, exactly. Not going to work. So what you want to do is you want to Google. You want to watch, first of all, you want to do your research. You want to get on a show, you watch that show.
Right. And see what they actually talk about.
Exactly. See the style. See, you know, who is it is that's probably going to interview you, how long the segments are, how you're going to package your message. You need to do that research. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get booked, let's be honest. So once you do that, then you can Google the name of the show. And if it's, or if it's a newspaper or a magazine or some kind of print or digital property, then you would say, for example, Huffington Post masthead. The word masthead, M-A-S-T-H-E-A-D.
And just Google it. People.
You'd be shocked. You'd get their email addresses, sometimes their phone numbers, their names. Yeah, all arranged by... It's all out there for God and the little children to see. I'm telling you, it's on the interwebs. So you find, so you could just find that. And so you don't have to necessarily purchase lists. We created some lists for our students. But the reason we created those lists was you have the contact info, but we also have notes about what they want. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a list,
right? It's a little bit of a shortcut.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a shortcut, but you could totally do this for free. So you get their name. You make sure it's the right person. And then you write, so it would be Dear Tamara. So if I wanted to be on your podcast, because podcasts are part of what we teach, right? Yeah. You can sometimes get more business out of a very engaged podcast than you can. Yeah, because people really listen. And sometimes if the host is doing a good job, people are very engaged and they really take a recommendation or an endorsement seriously and then will actually follow through. So you say, hey, Tamara, I love your show. So you start with something complimentary that shows you've done your research. I loved the episode about, I learned X, Y, Z about. So imagine Tamara is now, right? So imagine Tamara is now on her phone, checking her email, and she sees a very compelling subject line.
Yeah.
And then, so if I were pitching you, I'd say, hey, Tamara, do you want to know what 98.5% of Americans struggle with?
Yes,
that's
I
the
do.
Subject line, right?
I'm going to open that email.
You're going to open that email. And if you had that preview thing set up on your phone, you'd say, hey, Tamara, I loved the episode with yada, yada, yada. So you know that I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And every journalist likes to know where it gets really lonely behind the microphone. It gets really lonely behind the desk. We're all working crazy long hours. We like to know that what we're doing is appreciated and that we're making an impact. So you start with that and you say, hey, and I had an idea that I think will really resonate with your audience. And then I hit you with the fact that 98.5% of all Americans, of all employers in the US are small business owners. And they happen to struggle with PR. They happen to struggle with their marketing and they're all wasting away on social media when they could be doing this, that, and the other. So that's a story-based pitch. I have made it clearly relevant to your audience. I could tie this in with Small Business Saturday. This is a pretty evergreen thing. So I could just choose. I can pick and choose whatever the heck I want. If a study comes out on small business, then that's a great why not.
Right.
If it's Small Business Saturday, if it's your end, you know, whatever. New Year's resolution.
What I love about that too, that I hope people are picking up on, is you've actually made my job easier too.
Yes.
You're sending me a pitch, but now you're sending me a pitch and I'm looking at it. So you've done your homework. So now I'm thinking, okay, you're not spamming every podcast person or every, you know, TV person, whatever.
Exactly.
So check there. And second, oh my God, I hadn't thought about that as a story. She's absolutely right. Now I look awesome to my boss or my community.
Yes.
Because you've given me a great story. So
exactly.
For those of you out there listening, I would encourage you to think about how can you give them a story that is so juicy, it makes them look good, not just pitch something, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is huge, because a lot of bookers these days, especially the bigger the show, the more national the show, the younger they tend to be, the more under pressure they tend to be, they are not going to, they don't have time to like you and figure out the story.
Right. So don't make
you have to give them the story, exactly as you say. So I've given you a juicy story and I've mapped it all out for you. So what I'm going to do is, so imagine you have the headline, you have the Dear Tamara, you have the three or four sentences, two short paragraphs, setting up the context. Here's why this is relevant to your audience. Here's what the story is. Notice how I haven't talked about myself.
No, not at all.
Right? Because you don't give a shit who I am because you don't know what's in it for you yet.
Exactly.
You don't know what's in it for you and your audience. That's all you care about at this point. Right? I have to sell you on the story for you to then wonder, is she the right girl for the job? So I leave that for the end.
So here's the mistake. Oh, you'll die laughing at me, Gita. But so I sent out a pitch at one point to be on TV that was basically like, hey, Tamara here. I'm a regular contributor to the Huffington Post. I work with companies like Disney. Like I went on and on. So social, I started with social proof basically.
Right.
And then went into what I could do for them and I heard nothing. So then about 3 months later, I took that same pitch and I took your advice after hearing you and I flipped it. And I did the, you know, hey, your audience loves blah, 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 kind of, you know, I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the very end, like in my signature,
Yeah.
It was about me. And I got three responses immediately. And I was like, hot dog.
And it works. My system, that's why we have all these crazy testimonials, is that it's not actually rocket science. Because like I said, I interview journalists and they tell me their pet peeves. They tell me what they wished people do. I've just found out, we had a client join our course. And the reason she, and I asked her, I was like, how did you find me? And she was like, oh, I pitched a story to a local breakfast show. And the producers were like, dude, you need training. Go find this. She was like, but I'm a dentist now. She was like, go Google this woman and follow her stuff because I need you to do this.
I know you say it's not rocket science, but I do think it is skill and experience.
It is. It is.
And I think it's, I want to talk a little bit about your program before we end. So I want to make sure we have time for that. But before we do that, for the people listening and watching, what I want them to think about is a couple of things that I've already kind of written down as my takeaways. One is create a calendar of all the stuff that happens every year that has nothing to do with you, just everything, and then figure out how to pitch against that. So I think we make the mistake of making a calendar that's our editorial calendar.
Exactly.
Here's my content going out into the world.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to flip that. I'm going to do a media calendar, and then I'll layer my stuff onto that instead. So that's number one that I want people to do out there.
And I want to just throw something in there. What that's going to do for any content that you create, even if it's content for your own blog or your own email newsletter or whatever it is you're creating content for, that is going to automatically make you more relevant in the moment.
And give you ideas too.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, I mean, there's only so many ideas you can have off the top, like sitting alone at your desk. So
exactly.
So I'm going to do that. And then I think your kind of concept about this is what's in it for them and their audiences. Make their job easy is the way to pitch, not what are you pitching. So I want us to kind of close out. I want to talk about Baby Got Booked, because I know you've had a lot of success on there, and there's other people who I know who have purchased it after hearing you who have also done really well. So talk a little bit about the program, because you're the media consultant without clients, right? That's how I think you describe
it. That's right. Yeah. It's like, basically I'm the PR person that doesn't do other people's PR. I don't do you can't pay me to do your PR. I've had, and I was very clear about this, because when I sat down and had that chat with myself after talking to my son, right. And you can't bullshit a two-year-old. They just don't, there's no gray areas there. And I was like, no, I'm going to build a business that makes sense to me, that I'm excited about every single day, where I have the time to constantly innovate and stay ahead of my competition, because someone is going to, there's no shortage of out of work journalists right now. Right. So, you know, any number of them can start creating something like this. How am I going to stay ahead of the pack? I'm going to constantly innovate. In order to have the time to do that and the energy to support my people, because we have a monthly live group coaching call and we have 24/7 support in our Facebook group. So people are constantly putting in their pitches there to get workshops, giving them advice. It's like, so it's pretty intensive in terms of support, which is one of the reasons we get such great transformations. So I was like, I'm not ever doing anybody else's PR. That is for sure. I had someone actually offer me $40,000 for a 6-month contract.
Like, no, thank you.
And I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't even feel bad saying no.
You know what? And here's the other thing too. You said this. I'm just gonna, clearly I was really paying attention when I heard you speak. So that's,
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Why would I want them to own my media list? Because if I hire someone, this is what you talked about.
Exactly.
I really want to build those relationships for my business, and I've been able to, and it's made my getting on media later easier because I've built.
Yes.
So why would I outsource that?
Exactly. It's a little bit like outsourcing making love.
Right. Why would you do that?
No.
I'm sure not sure how I would do it. I got to think about that one for a moment.
Yeah. Well, you can, but it probably won't do you any good.
That's right.
So,
not as much fun.
Exactly. And I find that it's not that hard. A lot of people are balk at the idea because they think it's very, very hard. But having created templates for the press. So what we do is we field test. I field test everything. So I practice what I preach. I constantly have my nose in everybody's business in our Facebook group. So I'm always following what people are doing. And then when people get successful, we take that pitch, we break it down, we use it as an example, and we templatize it. And then we hand it out. So that way,
to date too.
Exactly. We always know what's working right now, and we know who's looking for what. And then I have my own podcast, the Baby Got Booked podcast, where I often invite big name editors, producers, whatever, to come and share how they make their booking decisions and what it takes to impress them and, you know, what resonates with them personally, what makes their story different from, let's say, a competitor's magazine or show or whatever that looks like, so that you get the tools that you need. So that you can listen to for free. We have a bunch of resources on my website. So it's a little bit confusing. So you're going to have to remember my name or just Google Baby Got Booked and you'll find me. But on geetanadkarni.com, which is my main site, you can find on the blog, you can find, we actually have a template. I turned my pitch that landed me my column in Inc. magazine, I turned it into a template. And I'm giving it away.
I go online.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm giving it away. It's free. At the moment, at least. Awesome. As of this recording, it is free. So if you Google Geeta Nadkarni, How I Pitched Inc.
And I will put link in the bottom too.
For that me. Would be great. Okay, yeah. So excellent. So that's, you know, that's a way to test my material and see if it works for you, because I stand behind what I do. I'm really proud of what we've achieved and we're constantly innovating. So if you have constructive criticism too, I'm always up for it. I'm not even saying that.
It makes you better.
It does, exactly. So we have that. We have the PR toolkit. So these are the five low and no budget tips and strategies, including a sort of map of the template that I was talking about for a pitch. It's in there and it's free. So you just have to go in there. I'm just saying, join my mailing list and every week I'll send you a tool or a strategy or a case study for how you can see something that's working in the media and apply it to your own business. If there's something I've realized I'm very good at is taking information that's relatively abstract or taking something that's going on and then breaking it down into something that you can take action on.
Figure it out. So you're making my life a little easier too then.
Exactly. So that's my goal. Yeah. So the course itself, if you want to check out the course itself, it's at babygotbooked.com. So you could purchase it straight off the internet if that's what you chose to do. And like I said, check out some of my free stuff and see if it resonates with you. And if you ever need to reach me, you can do that through my website as well.
You know, here's what I say though, before you kind of close out with some parting guidance, is for those of you listening and watching, it is worth the investment.
Thank you.
It is. And you know, I'll just tell you, I mean, I know people who have purchased it as well. So I'm not just talking from my own personal experience and hearing you and like taking copious notes, but what we talked about in the beginning about where you spend your time has made a huge difference in our business. And you know, we used to kind of spend a lot of time on social media. So first of all, it's free, which sounds good. But second, and you know, it's so funny, like even with Facebook ads, which is all the rage right now.
Oh my God. Can we just have a moment to rant about Facebook ads? Because we are dabbling in it now. Because now we, having built the business that we've built, we have the budget and the time to dabble and learn new stuff. And we're doing it. And can I just say, it freaking sucks, okay? Well,
I will tell you, I wasted thousands of dollars in it because I've been kind of testing stuff all along.
Me too.
And some of it works, but likes and comments and shares don't necessarily translate.
Pay the bills. No.
They don't translate to buys as easily as you would think, right? So you could have thousands of likes on something and it looks great, but that doesn't mean anyone's paying you shit. So it's an interesting like dichotomy. And I'm not saying that I'm the expert, so perhaps I'm not doing it right. But I do know that when I invest in media, that I get a return. That I know.
Well, I'll just give you an example of something that I've lived. So I have a piece up on Entrepreneur Magazine called 3 Reasons Why No Small Business Should Hire a PR Agency. Mm-hmm. Nice and controversial. That piece has made me, I think, $15,000. That is the $15,000.
Right, one article.
One article, and I could trace it directly back to that. And I'll tell you why I know that this is the case, because people read that article and then go and buy my course.
Right.
Like that.
Because you have instant credibility.
Yes.
Right. You're in something that they already trust. So that trust is translated over to you.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Cause so recently, I went through a lot of effort to get onto Entrepreneur on Fire, the podcast. Mm-hmm. And cause he gets 1 million downloads a month. I just taped it on Tuesday, but people kept saying to me, well, why are you putting your effort there? Why don't you just go do a bunch of social media and have just as much reach? I was like, no. Just as much reach, but not as much credibility. And that matters. No. And that translates into purchases. I mean, I'll know like what the result is after it actually airs, but that translates into purchases. Social media doesn't translate into purchases as easily. My social media friends are going to kill me, but it's true.
It's true. Let me say that I do use social media strategically.
Yeah.
I mostly use my personal page more than anything else for business, honestly. But we have Instagram and I don't have any particular strategy because that has just not been my focus because I'm doing really bloody well with media. So for me, social media is like the icing on the cake where if I have time, I do it. And if I don't have time, then it's the first thing to go on the chopping block.
Well, you know, it's funny. My social media person recently resigned and moved on to other stuff that she's passionate about. And so we went a little bit dark on social media. And at first I panicked. I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, ah, and it hasn't actually changed anything. So.
Oh, well. There you go. And like I said, if you are doing well on social media, then the media will only boost that.
Right. The media will
only boost that. So there's no reason to think of them as enemies or sort of exclusive to each other. I don't think they are, and I don't think they need to be. If you're doing well on social media, kudos to you. Come on the show and teach us some tricks. Honestly,
show me how.
Show me how, and show me how to get good return on investment. I'll leave you with the story of. Someone, she actually, if you go to babygotbook.com and scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see a video of her telling the story herself. So we had Lauren Victoria. So she is a client of ours, a student of ours. And she came to us because she realized how much PR was helping her firm. So she was 22 years old. This is in 2014. And she was 22 years old. And she had this idea for a subscription box. So she's in Hawaii. So she was just like, she's going to call it the Aloha Box. She's going to send a taste of Hawaii to your house for like $14.99 a month. And it's super exciting. And she's a design person and she's a social media genius. That's what she studied. She's a communications major. She used to be a social media consultant. She was like, I got this. This is going to be a snap. You know,
right.
Beautiful design, gorgeous box, great concept. She gets on social media. She runs Facebook ads. She has a contest going on. And she's like, win a year of Aloha Box. And it goes viral. So she's getting like hundreds of thousands of likes and shares and engagement everything that you're supposed to get, right? And she was like, I'm killing it.
Successful.
Can you tell me how many sales she made?
I'm afraid to guess. I mean, I want to say hundreds and thousands because it looked really hot on social media.
Zero.
See?
I was shocked. I was like, $14.99 is not like a huge price point. How can it be zero? And she was like, don't even get me started on free stuff on the internet. Like, just don't even get me started. So I was like, oh, okay. So what happened was in rage and despair, she remembered that she had gone to school with a journalist. And that's like a little point that I'm going to throw out there. Everybody knows a journalist. Everybody. Right. You think you don't, but you do. It's someone who when you went to school with, that's someone you may have, you know, taken to prom. It's someone who you had a one-night stand with and never called back and now's the time. Whatever that looks like. It could be, you know, your kid goes to school with someone and their dad is an anchor on the evening program. Whatever. So you have someone that you know. And it always helps to have a personal connection if you have it. You don't have to have it with our course. You don't have to have it. So here's how Lauren did it. So this is before she joined us. She sent an email to her friend. And because it was her friend, you know, they opened her email and they were like, oh, this is a great idea. It supports local business. It's good for the economy. Da, 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 da. She got a full page spread in their star advertiser, the Honolulu main newspaper. Right away. And remember, at this time, she has the idea for a business. A business with zero clients is not technically a business so far, just so we're clear.
On paper, it's not a business.
Technically. So she has this. So all of a sudden, she's in the Star Advertiser. She immediately takes that and leverages it and pitches it to television, where she has no contact. So now she's going cold, but she's leveraging that credibility. Same as you. Same as how you say, I'm a Huffington Post blogger, that immediate credibility.
Yep.
All the credibility that works for clients works for producers too. The bigger the producer, the bigger the outlet, the more they want to know that somebody else vetted you first.
Right, of course.
It's true.
They don't want to take a risk on you.
Exactly, because if you look bad, that they're going to get fired. No joke. No joke, especially on big shows. They don't get second chances. It's very, very cutthroat. So she gets on television, interview goes really well. She shows her thing, da, da, da. She gets off the set and she's turned off her phone. So she turns it back on and all of a sudden it's going bing, 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 bing. And it's all sales, 55 sales from that first segment. And she's like, that segment is on YouTube and it's still making the company sales. It was 100, and she told me it was 1,150% return on investment.
I mean, done. That's exactly right? Why you need to learn and focus on media. And to your point, social media is not evil or bad. It's just media gets their buyers.
It gets the job done faster. Yeah, it just gets the job done faster.
It turns people into buyers faster too.
Yes.
Which matters a lot.
I didn't tell you the best part about the story.
What's that?
Fast forward 12 months. Lauren sells Aloha Crate. So she's only had this business for a year, 12 months. She sells it. She's 23 years old. And I have a Facebook post where she posted in our group. And she said, I now have more money than God and no idea what to do next.
I love it. Oh my gosh. That was a great story to end on. So I'm going to encourage people to go to your website and to Baby Got Book. I will put both of them in the show notes, but I just wanted to say thank you. I mean, you were just, even if all someone did from listening was take some notes and do some things of what you said,
they're going to get booked.
So, yeah. Which I think in my humble opinion proves the value of the course itself. I would invest the money and I would do it.
Because thank you so much.
It gets you booked. And then, as we said in the beginning, media is credibility. It's not just exposure. It's also credibility. And that leads to sales, which is a huge difference.
Absolutely. And hey, I'm on Twitter. So I do some social media.
Yeah.
If you are looking, I ever so often will do a webinar. So I don't know what the schedule is. It varies quite a lot. But whenever it is you're listening to this, if we have something going, it'll be pinned to the top of my Twitter feed.
Awesome. I will put in the show notes your Twitter handle as well so people can follow you there, because that would be great.
Perfect. So it's Life with Geeta. Geeta with two E's. No H. G-E-E-T-A. Life with Geeta. Thank you so much, Tamara. This is fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.